How often do we look upon God as our last and feeblest resource? We go to Him because we have nowhere else to go. And then we learn that the storms of life have driven us not upon the rocks, but into the desired haven. A little girl was quoting the 23rd Psalm when she got her words confused. She said, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want." Well, God spoke to my heart through that misquotation, and I said, "Lord, that's all I want also. Be my shepherd, and let me follow after you in worship and obedience." I invite you to share the experience of the worship of God who will become all you want. He sits effulgent in heaven. There is no person so poor or so low that he may not look with childlike confidence and see the face of God ready to receive him. Worship elevates a person. Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote, "Earth's crowned with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. And only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries." So I ask, what are you doing? Are you standing barefoot on the holy ground of God's presence? Or are you unaware of him and just plucking blackberries? The thing that determines the difference is the spirit of worship. The ancient prophet Micah asked, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the Most High God?" Well, the question recognizes that one does not come before the Lord carelessly or without preparation. The divine command is, "Prepare your hearts for the Lord." Now, if we ask, "How shall I prepare?" The Lord gives an answer in the Bible. First, to worship God in truth, you must have a supernatural conversion. As Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, born from above, born of the Spirit of God. It is not enough to be born to religious parents or in a certain racial or religious group. Jesus said that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that's all it can ever be, since lack produces lack. But, Jesus continued, that which is born of the Holy Spirit is spirit. So do not be surprised when I tell you that you must be born again. There's something tragically wrong with mankind apart from God. Each one needs a change within his spirit. And so God promises, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you." Now that's the change each of us must have to be received in peace before God. That is the only way the channel will be open for us to worship God. Second, to worship God in truth, you must have a desire for His fellowship. Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now notice that the hungering and the thirsting comes before the filling. God is ready to move into your life, but He will fill only the space you provide for Him. I remember Major Ian Thomas' statement, "You will have Him enough when you want Him enough." There is no substitute for your desire for God. Your desire for God will increase if you'll cultivate it. Just begin by meditation on Holy Scripture. The psalmist wrote, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Look upon the Bible as God's personal message to you. Read it and think on it. Reread portions you do not understand clearly and portions which are a special blessing to you. Memorize the passages which seem to speak directly to you. Share with others what you find in Holy Scripture. And when you have moments free from other distractions, when on a trip or lying awake at night, call passages to mind and meditate on them as God teaches you. Cultivate a hunger and thirst for the things of God, for that's a sure way for worship to become increasingly real and important to you. Worship of God is built around the person of God, and the person of God is known through the Word of God. Do not be frightened to be still and listen to the Word of God. You will find His voice is both awesome and gracious. Third, to worship God in truth, you must have a grateful spirit. Psalm 103 opens with the words, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Now, those statements reveal a basic truth about worship, which is worship is responds. God makes Himself known to a person in a way of divine choosing, and that person responds to his awareness of God, and that response is worship. Now, that's why a thankful heart is so basic to worship. God commands, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." To approach God without a spirit of thanks for His person would be the greatest audacity. To come into His presence without gratefulness for His provision would be the utmost selfishness. Learn to say thanks to God over and over, many times each day, but in particular when you come to worship. A spirit of thanksgiving can be cultivated. When the psalmist admonished himself to forget not all God's benefits, he began a list of divine blessings. And that list includes forgiveness, healing, satisfaction, provision, renewed strength. What would your list include? For a good spiritual exercise, devote 30 minutes to making a list of all the blessings you have received from God. Think in physical and spiritual terms. Include emotional and mental items. List private and public provisions. Ask God to bring things to your mind for you to add to your list. Stay with it. Concentrate on it for a half an hour. And I predict you will be surprised at what is on your list. I predict that you will be amazed at the goodness of God toward you. I predict you will have a deeper spirit of thankful worship than you have had before. Try it. It's a spiritual discipline that you and I need to exercise. Fourth, to worship God in truth, you must have a deep sense of reverence. It has been written, "God is over all things and under all things, outside all, within but not enclosed, without but not excluded, above but not raised up, below but not depressed, wholly above presiding, wholly beneath sustaining, wholly without embracing, wholly within filling." If that leaves you a little dizzy, just realize that God is all that and so much more. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though spread from sky to sky. If writing just the love of God would drain the oceans, what would it be like to write the whole of God's attributes? Our finite minds can never comprehend the nature of God Most High. We are wisest when we realize we do not know Him as He truly is, that His greatness is beyond our capacity to understand. The world appears so small when you contemplate the greatness of God, and our highest privilege is to live in the presence of God. So, practice the presence of God, cultivate the spirit of worship, and then even troubles become blessings. George MacDonald wrote, "How oft do we look upon God as our last and feeblest resource? We go to Him because we have nowhere else to go. And then we learn that the storms of life have driven us not upon the rocks, but into the desired haven." Your worship will be full when God becomes the object of your desires, the end of your actions, the person of your affections, and the governing power of your life. Make that your aim in life. Father, as disciples of Jesus ask Him to teach them to pray, so we ask You to teach us to worship. Be to us our God of gods, Lord of lords, the great God who is mighty and awesome, for Jesus' sake. Amen.